Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Sophie, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
Can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
Good work.
That was nice. I like that,
Josh. That was nice.
Michael's got it, hasn't he? Because you're internet shit.
Yeah, who's that, Michael?
Hi, Rob and Josh. This is our daughter, Sophie, who said your names after many tries of asking, and she was just asking for Bar Bar Black Sheep. Thanks for getting me through the long night shifts when she was a newborn and was only sleeping on us and not in her cot, from Jenny in Tring in Hertfordshire.
Tring. Oh, the old Tring. The old Tring festival.
Anyway, Josh, how are you? You promised us a update on a slight breakdown.
Oh, yeah. I just had a bit of a relapse, Rob, for one day only.
Did you?
One day, back into 2022.
What could you, for people that have just started listening, what would you say you relapse into?
Well, if you just started listening, go back and listen from the start, obviously. Incredible anxiety and insomnia brought on by overwork.
Yes, very well put.
So I went away filming for 4 days for Hold the Front Page Series 2. But let's remember, Hold the Front Page Series 1 is the thing that started the whole thing in the first place.
Well, so you're also, he's going to be triggered a little by that because you're going back to a thing that sort of stressed you out.
Thoroughly enjoyed it during the filming. Got home. Oh, I had done last leg the night before, so I had to get the car straight from last leg to Southampton, then get the ferry to the Isle of Wight the first thing in the morning before filming 12-hour days. I thought, I've dealt with this very well. Got on the boat back. I was a little manic. Started doing some work on the train, on the boat home. Don't know why I needed to do that. Just felt like...
Just rest. Just relax.
Just rest, but no. Yeah. Bit of an exciting moment on the boat, Rob. Got asked whether I was on the ferry. Mm. Got asked whether I wanted to come up and steer the boat with the captain.
He's like, I've already got enough work on, mate. Done another job.
I was up there like a fucking shot because I was so manic. Let's get this boat fucking steering, mate.
Before I actually have to think about how I feel about it, let's get the let's drive the boat.
Got in the car home, carried on doing work for another hour. Absolutely insane. What was I thinking?
What are you doing? What work is this? Writing jokes or organising admin stuff? What are you doing?
Bit about just thinking about going back to stand up, stuff like that.
Right, yeah, because that's
organising stuff. Like, yeah,
no, that's why
I went mental, Rob. I went mental last week for a day.
Yeah.
Got home. Tried to read my book for an hour in the car home. Couldn't read. I was too manic.
Yeah.
Got home. Too manic to sleep. Next day, the anxiety through the roof again.
So how much, you didn't sleep at all, basically, that night? 10 pints, blur doc, straight to sleep.
Well, no, this is the thing.
Yeah.
I realised a year ago, I used to, when I was feeling anxiety, I'd get drunk.
Mm.
No, not in my locker anymore, Rob.
So what do you do now?
I haven't got that weapon. Just suck it up.
Work.
Just no. So then then the next day it calmed down and it went away because I knew what it was. I knew I wasn't blaming the sleeping pills. I wasn't thinking, what is this? I wasn't thinking I've got insomnia. I just knew this shall pass.
Because I knew your work schedule was quite intense because you're basically like, you worked 10 days in a row, essentially no days off, and then back to like looking after the kids and still working. So I knew you was under the cosh a bit, especially from doing this. And then I saw you post on Instagram, writing some new ideas for stand up. And I was like, he's lost his head. His head's gone. Mad.
I've gone.
I messaged you just going, nope, you don't need to do that. Yeah, stop lying.
I left the cafe because I do what I'm told. I was like, if I write in a cafe, I'm relaxing because I'm in a cafe, right? So I'm having a cup of tea in the cafe. So if I'm writing in a cafe, I'm just being a relaxing guy. I'm just chilling out.
Did you write many jokes?
No.
No. Just sat there rocking back
a little
and forth.
Bit about ordering a curry and then left. Is it funny? We'll see when I finally get to gig.
I've got a new bit about curry. We'll talk about when you order a takeaway, right? They've just got to stop sending the little bag of salad.
Oh, yeah, that is funny.
What is the little bag? No one's eating that. Fuck it. No one's eating. Also, if I'm eating a bag of salad, if you're eating salad, I don't want it in a plastic bag that you'd use to pick up dog shit.
It's so sweaty. Yeah, it's so sweaty.
And it's so sweaty because it's been in a bag on the back of a motorbike next to a curry. Who's putting a bag of salad next to a Parmesan curry? So I'll turn that into a bit, probably. So if you come and see me in about 3 years' time, I'll be smashing that out.
Yeah, you'll enjoy that.
Crunching that out, Carlisle Sands Theatre, which is basically a sports hall.
Oh, yeah, I've been there. I'm quite looking forward to it, though. But I don't know whether I'm looking forward to it or whether I'm just manic still. But I think I'm chilled now. I'm pretty chilled now.
And how's your weekend looking? Are you working this weekend? Are you off?
It's my friend's birthday, but Plymouth are away at Watford, so it's a difficult choice on the Saturday afternoon.
Oh, Plymouth. You've got to go Plymouth-Watford.
Well,
you spend too much time with your friends, and I reckon you've got too many.
No, because they've got kids. So basically, I've got to go to Rose. You know that birthday we were going to?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I can no longer drive you to South East London. You're left with the two kids, and I'm going to go to Watford versus Plymouth.
I respect that. My man. But if Rose drove, you could just, that would be fine. Because the issue there is not really her going, so when she passes, you'll be away.
Yeah, but that's a difficult argument, Rob. What just is? So you know, when you pass, this will be fine, but you haven't passed, so see you later.
I understand that doesn't help you now. But what time's the party? Can't you drop them off at the party, drive up to Watford, watch the game, drive back and pick them up?
No, Watford's a long way from South East London.
No, well, where in South East London?
Crystal Palace Park. Should we just bring on Joel Dommett? This is bad. This is bad radio.
Do you want to ask Joel Dommett? I want to ask him, because he hasn't had the baby yet. This is the pre-baby chat. Then we're getting back on for the chat once I've had the baby. Yeah. What is his body is unbelievable, Josh.
Yeah, what's he going to do about his body?
Him on Instagram with his phone in his mouth and his neck and muscles.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to know what his current workout schedule is.
Yeah.
And then we can ask him when he comes back on, what is he doing now?
Okay, well, let's segue into the interview and you'll hear us asking
that. I'm asking that immediately.
We're literally doing that interview in a minute.
I would just go watch Watford Plymouth, mate. You're not going to get many chances to see Plymouth that close to your house this season.
Well, I'll let you know what I did. This is Joel Dommett.
Joel Dommett, welcome to the show. We are buzzing to have you on because we've been waiting a little while for this now.
Rose is very excited. She said, when are you going to get Joel on? People are talking about this.
Exactly. Well, you are expecting a child. Hannah is pregnant. How pregnant is Hannah?
She is 35 weeks now.
35
she
weeks.
She can't fly. She can't fly.
She can't fly, is that?
No, she can't leave me to another country. Thank God.
She can't abscond. Is it 40 weeks when it's over?
Yeah, I think so. We're such a group of men.
Well, no, but we are such a group of men. But, you know, you will have a more... if something's happening inside you, you will be slightly more on top of the details.
Well, I've been reading all the books, Rob.
Classic Joel.
And I found out that in France, they let it go to 42 weeks.
Really?
What do they do? Just cross their legs?
I don't know. I didn't read that far.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, so they normally go over, though, the first year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm hoping so. I've got the NTAs, so I want to sort of get that done.
When are the NTAs?
Fairly soon to the due date.
Right. Okay. So what if she goes into labour on the day of the NTAs, which is live from the O2? Just let me know what time. I'll get there and I'll host it. Who's the backup?
I feel like that's the dream. Well, they say they've got a contingency, but they won't tell me who it is.
I know who it is.
Oh yeah, so
that
do I.
Craig geezer that does This Morning. He is ITV's president of murder. Good guy. Great guy. Does the rugby.
Great guy.
Presenter.
Craig Doyle. Good looking.
Good looking. Great guy. Loves a bit of rugby. He will be there.
The dream scenario is like that night, it happens, the waters break or whatever, you know, the cliche. And then there's all of the presenters there in the country.
Yeah.
So then they can each do a section or something like
that. I thought you were going to say they could fight to the death.
Yeah, they all fight, run to the front.
Have you discussed what the communication will be? Like, are you going to keep your phone on?
That's what I'm thinking. Because it's live and so there's breaks. And so I'm thinking I'm just going to keep my phone on me and then just check during the breaks. Then I can come back from a break and then suddenly it's Craig Doyle.
Craig Doyle's going to be stood there in the So the contingency is going to need to be someone there on the night.
Yeah, and they won't tell me who it is, so I've got to keep guessing. Like, it's like the fucking traitors.
All you know is that Craig Doyle's going to send a curry to your house for Hannah to eat. On the afternoon of the NTAs.
Because Lou went into labour the day before I was doing 8 out of 10 Cats Christmas special, so I missed it.
Oh, yeah.
And someone else took the spot. So you may have to miss it, Joel, but...
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said missed the birth.
Yeah. No, fuck the telly for that.
I was going to say, birth.
Lou was having contractions while I was trying to write for it. And halfway through a joke, I thought, I don't need to write a punchline here. She's going for it. Jesus, this baby's coming out quicker than this joke. So how is Hannah, though? Is she all right? She had a good pregnancy? Well. She's feeling good?
Yeah, she's doing very well. Like, you kind of hear all these... This is the problem with people just sort of put this horrible thing in your head that it's like awful.
Yeah.
And
remember the podcast you're on, Joel. Remember what me and Rob are making our living from here.
No, we talk about the good bits as well.
Honestly, I cannot tell you. I genuinely think this podcast is the reason that we're pregnant.
Oh, my God. Really?
And I know there's a lot of pressure on you boys, but I love this podcast. I genuinely love it a lot. Too much. Like I listen to this podcast all this. I read the book. I've watched you live twice.
Great.
You came along. We went to watch you live, and then we listened to the podcast in the car, and then we got back from the live watching you live, and then this is the worst part. Hannah can't fall asleep, right? So because she's pregnant, so she likes to sort for me to read to her, so she falls asleep easily. And so I read your book to her, and she falls asleep.
Oh, my word.
But also, you've said pregnancy's going well. She can't go to sleep unless you read to her. Sounds like fucking hell.
It's quite good, actually, because, she then goes to sleep, and I also get auto-cue practice. So it's a bit of both.
Absolute professional.
What else do you read to her, Joel?
Well, I do like reading at the moment I'm reading this, again, baby books. I know some people read loads, and some people don't read loads. I'm reading this one called Crib Sheet at the moment, which is very complicated. It's very good, but the writing is too small, man. It's like the Bible.
I tap out of that. It could be the greatest book of all time that just speaks to me directly. If the font's too small, it's getting thrown.
But it's because they're tricking you. Because they're making that you look at it in the bookshop and you think, oh, that's a small book. I can absolutely smash that. You know, and then you get it home. It's small font. Yeah, it's that's supposed to be a bigger book.
I'm going to tell you, Rob, this is not for you, Crib Sheet.
Crib Sheet, what's it about?
It is a data-driven guide to better parenting.
Oh, fuck data. I can't think of anything. Excel.
I'd enjoy this.
Proudly have never used Excel.
Is this the kind of stuff that you do at a corporate? this sort of material?
Are you looking forward to the birth, Joel?
I don't know. It's scary because it's so unknown. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. You hope that it's going to go a certain way, and we're trying our best to make it go as planned.
What plans have you got, Joel? What's the setup at the moment?
We're hoping for, and it sounds very weird saying this, three boys, vaginal.
As opposed to anus. Mouth. Out the mouth.
A pipe has got twisted somewhere, and unfortunately it came out your butthole.
So you're hoping vaginal, home, hospital, birthing
hospital,
unit.
Right. We've been doing lots of Hitler birthing.
Oh,
classes.
Here we go. Have you been listening to the tapes while you go to sleep?
Yeah.
I listened to them.
We've been doing it at breakfast. This morning, I was trying to enjoy porridge, and there was a video about tearing.
Don't talk about porridge. Josh fucking loves porridge. Every
do you
day,
love porridge? Little
dirty gobbler. He gobbles it up. He has it with water, though.
I don't have it with water.
So hospital. You're going to hospital?
So we're going to hospital.
How near is the hospital?
It's not like... Again, this is stuff that I'm really glad we're having this chat because I feel like I've not talked to anyone about it.
Okay.
And how close was your hospital?
It was a drive. It was
10, 15 minute. The first one was quite about a 10 minute drive. Second was about 15 minute. Yeah, 10, 15 minute drive.
Right. I was like half an hour. Is that okay?
Yeah. It's fine. You've got fucking hours.
Really?
Yeah. You've got plenty of time.
Yeah, and also as well, if you get there a bit early, you can always go for food nearby.
We were having breakfast. after we'd been there. You know, you're just dispatched out to do
they
stuff.
Will try and send you home quite quickly, though. So you sometimes have to fight your corner slightly.
Right.
Because they will push it to the absolute nth degree. You know, because you know when you, like, hurt your hand...
If you're as annoying as Rob, they try and get you out of the building. No, if you're charming and good-looking like Joel and Hannah, they're going to go. You guys stay. We like
no, but because of that, they're doing it every day. So, you know, if you cut like a, if you've got like a 3-inch cut on your arm from doing something in the garden, it's all bleeding and it's like blood everywhere. You go in like, oh my God, my arm. They go, yeah, sit there. We'll see you in an hour. You're like, yeah, but my arm's cut open. Like, yeah, it's the hospital. They are. That's what they're like. So you just sit there. But yeah, I think that'll be fine. And you got to remember the Red Book.
What's the Red Book?
You must know about the Red Book. Or is it all online these days?
No, just the Red Book. Do you not get the Red Book when you get the baby?
No, you get the Red Book from the midwife appointments.
Do you?
And it's all written in there by hand.
Are we talking about that thing you get in school?
No, there's a bit... Is Hannah in the house?
Oh, is that the National Record
Text
of Achievement?
Hannah,
that's the National Record of Achievement. Not just, here you go,
book.
Look at it.
I haven't got that book.
You must have.
You haven't got a child, mate.
Or maybe it's all on an app now.
I've got like a bigger book. There's like an A4 book that we've got to hold on to.
Right, maybe that's it then.
Maybe it's that, yeah.
And we were petrified because we kept on forgetting it. I thought about putting like one of those things that you put on your keys to make sure you don't forget your keys, where it like bleeps and you can put on your phone. I really want to put one of those on it because I'm just petrified we're going to lose it.
See, that's the thing is, I think you're going to be a great dad, whatever, because you're a brilliant person, but you're very much a details person that gets a bit obsessed with stuff. Mm. So do you found that you've become a bit obsessed with like learning how to be a dad or knowing what to expect and like read everything? Are you finding that a bit overwhelming or are you quite enjoying it? Because you are a man that taught himself nunchucks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yesterday I taught myself how to surf just because I thought I'd never surfed before. Yeah, yesterday.
Anyway, where are you?
I went down to this place in Bristol that has like fake waves.
Oh, wow.
And it was mad. And I looked around in this class, everyone else was 12.
It's some holidays.
Unbelievable. But I'm hoping that sort of skill will help me with the birth. But I like you say, details and all this stuff. I'm trying my best. But the problem is, there's all these books you read, all these videos you do. There's just so much information. And then it can all just go out the window. And it's like one little thing happens and it just doesn't go
totally.
The way you think it's going to, and it goes down a different route or whatever.
The baby hasn't read the book, Joel. That's what people say. The baby hasn't read the book.
Oh, I love that phrase.
It's good, that, isn't it?
I love that phrase.
I think you got to go with your gut a bit more than the books. I didn't read any books and mine are all right.
Yeah. But that's the story of Rob's career.
I think that I don't mind reading because then I'm like, I get better at reading, and if I get better, literally reading is my job. So
yeah. You put a positive spin on everything. I think you're one of the most mentally sound people and one of the nicest people, not just I've met in comedy, but in life. Because really, your success and your faith, you should be an absolute arsehole, but you're so kind and generous and a good person. So that it's going to be interesting to see if being a parent will break that, because you can put a positive spin on.
How are you with tiredness?
I'm scared about it, to be honest. I am scared about it because I love sleep. Like, I really love it because I'm really aware about recovery and what sort of sleep does to you. And I literally read this is the worst book to read. I read this book about sleep, which basically the whole book, it just tells you that like you need to have at least sort of 7 hours. Definitely you should be having 8. Otherwise you just fall apart and die. That's basically what the book says.
It's true as well.
Yeah. And so I'm genuinely scared. I've got things that I've bought in my life to make me have a better night's sleep. I've got an ice bath. I do an ice bath. And then so that makes me sleep better. I bought this mattress. This was last year, like a mattress that has, it cools you. The mattress reads what heat you are in your body. It has like sensors on it. And then it changes the heat of the mattress depending
on what heat
you are,
so
and so it cools you down because you're supposed to be cool when you sleep. You're supposed to be like really cool, and that costs I cannot tell you how much. Right, I'm going to tell you how much money it was.
Yeah. Can we be? We'll bleep it out.
You're going to bleep it out, right? Very much. A mattress cover.
So it's just a cover. It's not the mattress.
Mattress cover that's next, and then next to the bed, it has this like thing like that sort of powers it.
Fucking yeah.
But you can't put a price on sleep, Joel.
No.
This was the problem. I got it. I was like, said to Hannah, I was like, this is the thing I need. And the sleep is going to improve. I can't wait. My recovery is going to be amazing. We're going to love it. got it, spent the money, and then it was too loud. And so it's in the loft.
Do you know what? Those pre-baby purchases where you've got extra money knocking about because you don't have to waste it all on kids' shoes and stuff like that. Some of the stuff people buy is wild. But so that's in the loft now, is it?
That is in the loft now. And so, yeah, it's I'm enjoying all the baby stuff. I'm buying all the baby stuff, though.
So how much sleep are you getting at the moment then, Joel? Talk me through your bedtime routine. Talk me through your nightly routine. And then what we'll do is we'll ask you about your nightly routine when the baby's a bit older. We won't get you back straight away. Maybe give it a year or two. Why don't you get you properly into it?
Okay. So right now, I do a sauna in the morning, and then in the evening, I like doing an ice bath.
Yeah.
I know it's weird most people do it in the morning, but it really cools me down because I get really hot.
I wouldn't say most people have an ice bath in the morning, Joel.
Sorry. Both psychopaths.
So what time's your ice bath?
We don't actually go to bed that late. Like, unless I've got like a gig or something. So like, we're trying to like not watch TV until like midnight. You know what I mean? Just go to bed early, especially when she's pregnant right now. She gets tired. So
yeah,
we're going to bed about 10.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I probably fall asleep about midnight by the time I've read to her for absolutely ages. Which I'm going to be good at when the child arrives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking forward to doing autocue practice on the Gruffalo.
Yeah. Because you can really sell those books as well. There's more fun to be had reading the Gruffalo than there is to be reading.
Donaldson knows a way around a rhyme.
Yeah, exactly. You can really throw yourself into it.
She don't mess it up.
Really mass singer it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm the Gruffalo!
And what time are you waking up, Joel?
About 8:30, maybe 9. Honestly, some days, but before the pregnancy, some days, I mean, I was definitely getting 8.
I used to get up at 10 a.m. really. That was my sort of, I'd wake up about 9-ish and just chill till 10, look at my phone, work up. Because normally we work a bit later on because it's evenings.
Yeah. I just get 10 hours sleep.
10 hours.
Do you know what I mean? And just enjoy that.
The key is being cold in bed, isn't it? That's think about a comfy thing, but the colder you are, the easier it is to sleep. Hotel rooms, aircon, the lowest as it goes. I sleep like a fucking, something that sleeps good.
I still wake up at 6 a.m. in a hotel now, though. I'm pre-programmed. That's
no,
it
not
forever.
No.
I'll go
straight
Joel,
back to sleep.
Just you wait, Joel.
This is what I'm scared. I'm scared of the sleep. I really am scared of the sleep. But I think I'm going to get, you know, classic me, I'm going to figure out a way of putting a positive spin on it.
Yeah. Do you two argue when you're like,
have you seen the podcast?
No, I just mean, do you argue?
Hannah's
like
eyes in one of those. I can't remember what you were arguing about. The anger in her eyes towards you. It was literally like, oh my God, I think Hannah and Lou are the same person. The way Hannah was looking at Joel. I can't remember what clip it was, but
it was this one where, it was the one where literally, I think, didn't you text me, Rob, and go like, is Hannah pregnant? Because I think that,
So before Hannah was pregnant, you two were having a little argument about something and her eyes changed and she told you off about something and she had the exact same look in her eye that Lou did when she was pregnant and the hormones are all over the place, so they actually hate you with their eyes.
That's amazing. You should become a doctor.
I went, Hannah's pregnant. You don't have to say yes or no because I know, you know, it's not nice when it's early days, but I called it early doors.
You really did. You knew before I did.
And if it comes out with blonde hair and massive teeth, then you know that why Rob knew that Hannah was pregnant. Rob did want to ask something. We discussed this in the pre-chat.
I wanted to know what your current sort of fitness schedule is, because you look unbelievable at the moment. I think being away filming for 6 weeks, you're sort of really focusing on that. And you look unbelievable, almost like an athlete sort of approach to fitness that you have. You've got your own gym and stuff like that. What's your routine now? And then once you've had the baby, we're going to try and find out what you're up to when the baby comes, because obviously it takes time and effort. But what are you doing at the moment?
At the moment, I'm trying to get it down because I'm aware that I'm not going to have this much time.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I'm doing hour and a half a day.
Every day.
In your house?
In my house. If I go out to the gym, it'll probably take 2.
Yeah.
Right. Also, again, to help sleep, I put a sauna in.
You've got a sauna. So how long are you in the sauna for?
That's because there's a good 35, 40 men.
And that's not included in the hour and a half working out.
And that's not included in the hour and a half.
Okay.
And then the ice bath, that's an extra 15 men.
You're not in there for 15, are you?
It's like, you know, just including getting in and getting out
of
time.
Yeah, of course.
Procrastination.
Just psyching yourself up. Yeah, yeah. Psyching yourself up. That's a good 7.5, 8 minutes each side of it.
How long are you in there, Joel? Because I tried to do the Wim Hof cold shower thing at the end of a shower, and I can do a maximum of 10 seconds.
You just got to build yourself up. It's honestly life-changing. And I know everyone goes on about it and all of that stuff, but it really wakes you up. If you start doing it in the morning, I then don't have coffee because you don't need it.
And how long do you do?
It depends how cold it is. But, like, the colder it is, the less time you have to do. So if you're doing it at, like, when it's, like, 6 degrees or something like that, then you only need to stay in for, like, 5 minutes. If that's
5 minutes?
4 minutes, you know? It's, like, really, like, not long at all. And that's why I like it. And that's why I'm thinking I'm going to continue that.
Yeah. Have you got space for the storage of all the baby stuff?
Because
your garage is the gym, isn't it?
I don't know whether it says anything, but my laptop is currently on top of a car seat box. So, no.
You're working off the box with the car seat in.
Have you got a pram?
Well, I have got a pram. I really enjoyed the logistics of the pram scenario.
I bet you did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, just finding out. We've gone for a Nuna.
I don't know.
Not too late to send that back, Joel.
It's great. It feels good. You don't know, do you? It's like,
no.
I really
it's so true. It feels good. Definitely could get a baby in it.
Yeah, you just sort of wheel it around and you're like, yeah, I suppose
a Duna
that works.
Or a Nuna.
A Nuna. N-U-N-A. Car seat goes in and it's got the car seat with the bit and it twists around. They face you.
This is good.
I didn't even know that was a fucking thing. I got so excited in the shop. And then like, I love all the things that, like, oh, you've got to get that, and you've got to get these brackets that fit on that, and the bracket that goes on that. And
it's exciting, isn't it?
Oh, it's so exciting. It feels like the closest I'm ever going to be to a mechanic.
Yeah. And so, to go back on it, what are you planning exercise-wise once you have the baby?
Yeah, I'm going to try and take it down a bit. Like, how realistic is it that I could do 40 minutes a day?
Easy.
Yeah, that's realistic.
I think that's fine.
The truth is, I think you'll be absolutely fine because you're already into that routine and you love it and you enjoy the process of it and you'll just have to lower it down and then build it back up. But yeah, especially if you've got that gym in your house, I think you'll be fine to do that. What I would say is when they're little, you can put them in a little holster thing or in a pram with decent wheels. You can walk for miles with them and they love that, or go for a run or a jog if you get the right pram and stuff like that. Is something you can do.
If Rob, a walk doesn't make a chest like this.
Don't I know, baby?
Can you do this? Can you, like, put them in a chair, bassinet, whatever, and just make them watch you?
No, they'll get bored.
Yeah,
well, they might.
For a bit, but you won't, like, you might be able to.
But there'll be naps. What's going to happen? This is
not when he's fucking clean and jerking in the garage. Keep it down, Joel. I've got the NTAs in a week. Cloak of metal.
What you're going to need to do, Joel, is you're going to need to decide, I think, between your baby early on is going to nap, and that's going to be your little break. And your choice is going to be, do I nap as well or do I work out?
Right. Or do your actual job and do all your emails and your tax and your writing new jokes and getting in a car, going to do what you do.
Have you got anything booked in work-wise after the birth?
Not great. It's actually
that
not too bad.
That will be a blessed relief, Joel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you'll be able to sleep in the car. This is the advantage
But you will be that sleep. Say you're getting picked up and it's an hour drive into town to go to work. Hannah will treat that, and quite rightly, like you've been on a mini break. So when me and Lou would argue over sleep, she went, yeah, but you get to go in the car. And I'm like, I don't think being driven for an hour to Twickenham at 6 a.m. should be counted in my sleep.
Yeah.
Because it's not a guaranteed out. Even if I get 20 minutes out of that, it's like, it's not on the motorway. Yeah. It's windy roads. You're getting knocked about.
Yeah. On this podcast, I've learned a lot from you, listening to you both. Because like we, me and Hannah were saying, it's like, Rob, I feel like you're quite good at like the sort of level of support that you give your partner in a way. Like when you go away, when you're away on tour, you then come back and then you allow her to go away and you're like that time that she...
Yeah, could be, not allow her, that's actually...
Not allow her, that's bad.
But we arrange time for... We separate really a good. Bit more. But we've got... That's easier now that we're mine a bit older.
I feel like there's a whereas Josh, you coming.
Whereas Josh, I've learned from you not to live in East London.
Well, no, Josh's youngest is still quite young, so it's a bit tricky to do that, but especially when they get older. But we found rather than... I think Joshua says himself, you and Rose, especially in lockdown, sort of did it all together, which works for some people. Mm. But for me and Lou, it was very much, you get on with it, and then I'll sleep, then I'll get on with it, and then you sleep. It all depends on the individuals and the couples and how it all works.
I'm ridden with guilt. I'm full of guilt. So, at night time.
So, if Rose was up, you'd just feel like you have to be up watching her and helping her, but...
Yeah, just staring into the distance, resenting her.
You should try reading to her.
I should try reading to her.
With his voice. So, cross our line. But I think you'll both find your way through it, and it's all different for all different sorts of people. Mm. So, if it's working for both of you, just sort of stick with that, but it is a bit more a trial and error.
I think you underestimate probably how brilliant this podcast is. Like, it's so...
No, I don't think we do.
No, I really... Actually, I don't think he gets enough credit. Livid.
I just think it's great. And I think it gives people... I mean, it's certainly given me something to listen to that I feels like I kind of am learning stuff without it being too learny. And I feel like it's real life learning almost. Like... Yeah. It's just sometimes all of the stats and the statistics, and you've got to do this and you've got to do that, and you're like, you're never going to remember it. No, but like,
data. Imagine having data on children.
Unbelievable. I just think this podcast is great. This is a dream for me to be on this podcast.
Well, we're very happy to have you on, John.
When you say about data, when I was reading the books beforehand, did I say I almost... Oh, did I do it? I can't even remember. I had plans to distill it down into a fact sheet that was easy for me to reference once the baby was born.
Really? Have you got that still now?
I don't know if I did it. You know when you're like, I either did it on a computer and it never saw the light of day, or I just thought about it. Do you know when it's like, there was no point when at 3 a.m. I was like, let's just check the fact sheet. It needs 1 ounce of milk.
It's so funny when you say the word fact sheet. And like date, when you say the word data, it sound it just makes so much more sense than you doing comedy. Do you know what I mean?
Have you been to NCT?
No, we've done sort of like an online course a bit, but I'm not a very sociable person, really.
No.
And so I don't know. Did you do it?
Yeah, but we did it in a weekend, so it wasn't that social. So it just, we almost just blasted it out, if you know what I mean.
Right.
The people that get long-term friends are the ones that do, like, every Tuesday night for 2 months kind of thing. Well, do you know what I mean?
We did every Saturday for, like, 3 or 4 weeks. And it was good because it was a WhatsApp group, and it was good to have a support group where, you know, you could message someone and they're going through exactly the same kind of thing, where you message your mates who've got a fiver on and go, oh... Because it's so weird, something will be so important to you at the time. It's like teething, you like, or colic. The word colic I've not thought about for 5 years, but at the time it will dominate your entire life, and you're like, yeah, because of the colic, obviously. It's a, you know, what colic's like, and at the time it feels like the most important thing in the world because it is, because it's the thing that your little precious baby's going through. But you'll text me, and I go, no, I literally don't even know what it is anymore, Joe, and I have to like Google it. But so what's good about the NCT is there's someone near your house that's going through the same thing that you can go, do you want to get a coffee tomorrow?
Right.
Have you got any kid friends near your house?
As in people with kids, not children that you like.
They've got colic, and I've called up a 7-year-old, and we're just hanging out.
Colic.
I have. This has been the profound thing that's happened to me, I think, because suddenly you're sort of having to assess who your friends are, how, where they live, you know, and it hasn't just made me think like, oh, have I got any friends with kids nearby? I just don't think I've got any friends.
Oh, Joe.
I'll be honest, when I said that out of my mouth, I thought that was going to elicit a laugh, but instead it just was pure sympathy.
Well, no, that you're a dad now.
Yeah.
Because you've got no mates.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah. If you've made a friend.
I think, do you know what it is? I've felt the same as you when the baby come, because as a comic, you're your own little world. You go off, you work alone, you travel alone, you go and do your own little island. And then also because you're social, your schedule's off. You're never about Saturday, Sundays. You're like, you know, and I think, you know, Tuesday afternoon is when you and Hannah might go for a dinner or meal or whatever. So it's like you are a bit doing your own little thing. But what will happen is you will build those networks and friends over time through your kids, because you'll end up going to the same swimming lessons, and then they start school and nursery, and then you meet a couple of the other dads and stuff. And then you end up just being friends with sort of the people that just live near your house. And it feels so alien. But it does happen.
She was like, oh, it'll be fine. You'll just like meet people. I'm like, where? She's like, when you you'll meet them when you've got a pram in the park. I'm like, that sounds like dogging. Like, that's a different.
Well, that's what the NCT is quite good. It's sort of entry level. But you live over in West London, don't you?
Yeah, South West London. Yeah. So it's like, couldn't be further from both of you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, come around anyway. Come around and just, you know, I'll be your friend, Joel.
I'd love that. It's like.
So like now, like we've got a lot of friends that come around so two of our good friends, we met on holiday just because all our kids played. Because that's the thing. If you find ones when your kids.
Two of our good friends are like their daughter's best friends with my daughter. And we're friends with them now.
Is that what happens? So basically who your kids become friends with, you then become friends with their.
I prefer, because I'm better, you know, I'm an adult. I've got better social skills than a child. I prefer that I have to make the effort with the parent rather than to meet up with the parent and then the kids to have to make the effort together. That would be, I mean, I'm happy both ways, but that is, I find easier.
Yeah, so we stumbled on a very lucky one. We're on holiday, it was in holiday, and our two kids were playing with these two kids in the pool. And then you end up chatting to the other parents, literally, because, oh, I think we've got one of your toys. Oh, what's your kid called? You know, because it's just, you know, you just will. And then they got on really well. Then we got on really well with them. And then we ended up going back to the same place on holiday with them. But that's quite rare. What you sometimes get is like, your kid will love their kid and their parents are awful. You're like, oh my God, I've got... Or that one parent will be all right, but you don't like the other one. Or you love both parents, but the kid's a dick and you're sort of forcing it, but then your kid's like, I don't like playing with that kid. So you're sort of led by what the kids do. But for the first year or two, it's basically just an ornament that needs feeding. So it doesn't... All this will come over time, but, you know, you can just take the baby anywhere, really, especially up till about 6, 7, 8 months before start crawling and walking, and you just push them around and feed them, and they'll sleep, so...
It's absolutely mental. Like, the whole thing is absolutely wild. Like, the whole thing is ridiculous. Like, I can't believe... It's a thing.
And it's going to be your life now forever.
Oh,
and you have this thing that's just going to be part of you. Like, because at the moment, you sell your house, you sell your car, you change your job. Doesn't really matter. At the time, you might feel like, oh, it's a bit annoying. But there's going to be this thing now that orbits you forever, that matters more than anything you've ever known.
Yeah.
And not to be scary, but it's lovely to have that.
I remember 2 weeks in, I was exhausted. And I came back. I think I'd been doing a day on the last leg or something in town. Came back and I was like, oh my God, the evening begins now. Like, this isn't a relax. Wow. So I remember sitting on my sofa with my head in my hands and my mother-in-law said, the thing is, you're only ever as happy as your unhappiest kid. And at that point, I thought, I've made a mistake. this was an error.
Did you still have the face paint on from Kermit the Frog?
Yeah, it was one of those moments.
Oh, wow.
But I would say anyone that says it doesn't get easier, it just gets difficult in different ways, is fucking bullshitting. It is the first year or two is the tough bit.
Really?
That's a really tough bit.
And it gets really, like, it's, that bit's fun and they're cute, but it's graft because it's constantly like, they need this, they need that, and they don't know anything. But now, like, my kids are 7 and 5, and even, and this is, it's been like this way since the youngest was about 3 or 4. It's just fun. And like, you know, you say you haven't got any friends. You don't really need friends. You just go out in your little gang and go, right, kids, should we go here? And they'll love it. Go, oh, you could take them to the surf lessons, teach them nunchucks, all those fun things that you like doing, you could incorporate into going out of them. And I think you'll absolutely love it, and you'll take to it like duck to water, both of you.
I'm really excited. Like, I'm really excited. I think I feel very lucky. I feel like it's come at a lovely time in my life and sort of my career. And I feel like it's a lovely point in our relationship. And I just feel like so lucky.
You mean you didn't want this to happen when me and you were playing Party Piece every Tuesday night in Stoke Newington?
I remember Party Piece.
It's like a little open mic gig that we all used to do on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
I once went on stage at Party Piece, and when I got off stage, someone had nicked my coat and my bag.
Oh my God.
Sorry about that. It was an early part of my career.
It's been an absolute joy, as we expected. Joel. Genuinely, when you came to the Cardiff show because you were in town doing a corporate, that was, it sounds a bit, but that was a real moment for me because it just felt like, it felt really weird, like we'd all grown up and done really well and we were all really enjoying ourselves. And that was one of the highlights of the tour for me, where I felt like, fucking hell, we did used to do Party Piece.
Well, yeah, we all worked in doing shitty little gigs for no money when we were all like 22, 23, and now we're all grown-ups with children. It's quite odd, isn't it? But
it's so bizarre.
Do you know what's sad is I still in my head think of myself as like the lads in American Pie, but now I know that I'm the dad.
I'm Eugene Levy.
Eugene Levy.
And Joel's Stifler's mum.
But Joel, we'll get you on, and probably Hannah as well, once the baby's out.
Once it's there, that'd be great.
I'd love that. I've said it to you when I came to see you live, but I'm so proud of you boys. And
oh,
I'm
thanks,
so
Joel.
You're doing so well. And it's just an absolute dream. And I listen to you all the time, and I read your words to my wife in bed.
creepy. That's actually got a bit creepy now.
The funny part was when, you know, in like some points in the book, you would do like the question and answer things. Rose and Lou would ask you questions. So that was like a really hard bit to read, because then you've got to differentiate between the voices.
Were you doing the voices?
I then had to sort of get into it a bit, because then you've got to know who's speaking.
Oh, can we have a little blast of your voices for each of us and for Lou and Rose? Oh, and then you have to do my mum and dad.
They have to do your mum and dad at one point, where I'm going like, so anyway, I'm going again. I'm getting into my cab.
Yeah, what's your dad sound like?
Pears.
Little apples and pears. And then, you know, and then I was doing Josh, which is like,
That's an easy one.
Madame Tussauds. I loved all the bits in the book. Everyone go and buy the book. It's a really good book. But it's...
You say you've been on Gas and Air already. He's lovely, right? Have you got anything to plug, Joel? You got a tour on, or is it more marketing?
Yeah, you should plug
something. So our podcast is... It's called Never Have Ever. We do a new thing every week that we've never done together before. Mm. And genuinely, we started it as a thing where we kind of thought we'd possibly maybe have a child at some point. And so we thought, like, oh, let's just do everything we can, like, before we have children, so we know what's fun to do with the children. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, like, other stuff. Just try and get everything out of the way, basically. And now, obviously, Hannah's pregnant, so there's some stuff that she can't do, but we're now doing more... Like, we did a baby first aid thing the other day. That was so great.
Also, as well, you never, like... You can do an episode on breastfeeding when the baby arrives.
Yeah.
That's the first week.
Yeah, exactly. And everything's
new. And you can talk about your surfing.
Yeah, that's an episode. I tell you what, it's a weird thing, surfing. I like kind of enjoyed it, but it also, it's kind of like just queuing in the sea. You're just waiting for other people.
Well, I've got good news for you, Joel. I've got good news. You're not going surfing for another 5 years at least.
Joel, thanks so much, mate. Good luck with the podcast and obviously the birth, and send our love to Hannah.
Thank you so
much. It's been a joy.
Cheers,
you're amazing.
Mate.
I love you both. Bye, bye, bye.
That was Joel Dommett.
Love Joel. Do you know what got me though? That hurt really deep. Was like, because I've been sort of doing a lot of walking, like I've mentioned.
You don't get a chest like this from walking?
That.
I feel like he's got that written on his wall.
He was like, I won't have time to do my exercise. And then, like, I said, oh, you can do some walking. Like, I just realised, oh, There's levels to this.
Yeah.
And getting your 10,000 steps a day basically just maintains whatever weight you are.
Your 10,000 steps a day, which I'm big into.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of
basically, it's basically 200 cows.
Yeah, there's nothing. And he has got tits.
Yeah.
That are rock hard. Right, I think that's enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
What a time to be alive.
And not in a good way.
Pringles are $3.99.
You have to scan a barcode to see the menu at a restaurant.
Why are there so many parking apps?
Why are there so many apps?
Why is everyone filming everything?
You've now got to pay £5 just to drop someone off at the airport.
Piers Morgan.
I drive home in a car I can't afford to run, to cook food I can't afford to eat, in a house I can't afford to live in.
I'm Sean Walsh.
And I'm Paul McCaffrey.
And if you've been annoyed by anything that you've heard in this advert, then why not listen to the brand new series of our hit podcast,
What's Upset You Now?
Here's another thing, podcasts that are 3 hours long.
Not this one.
No, this is 2 15-minute episodes a week, one with me and Paul, and one with guests like
Ramesh Ranganathan, Rob Beckett, Pete Doherty, Emily Atack, Josh Whittaker, and Catherine Ryan.
So go to wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to What's Upset You Now.
Psst, it's me, Alan. There's no place like London's Hackney Empire this September, or so I'm told. With shows from three of the UK's top comedians. Join team captain of 8 out of 10 Catsters Countdown, John Richardson. Recent I'm a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here star, Sean Walsh. And me, Alan Carr. We're all visiting Hackney Empire this September with our critically acclaimed tour shows. Ooh, la-di-da. Tickets available from hackneyempire.co.uk. See you there, my loves.